beyond being gifted and talented, they love God. And they have a heart to worship and praise God. Some people want to be on the praise team to be seen. Others want to be on the praise team to worship the Lord. They're not there to show off their gift, although they're gifted. They're there to sing the praises unto God and usher God's presence into the assembly so we can enjoy God's presence corporately. Amen. Thank you, praise.
Hallelujah. God is good. Can you hear me okay? All right, praise God. We are going to get into the Word, and a couple of things to share with you tonight that God put on my heart. And you know, we find ourselves in different times and different seasons, and it's important to know how you should respond based on the season that we're in, based on what's going on around us, based upon the schemes and tactics of the enemy, based upon what the world system would try to present. It's important to know what to do, how to live, how to function in different times and different seasons. And one of the most important things that's needed at that time. And one thing that God put on my heart for the season that we're in is listening here and not listening here. Listening to the Spirit of God, following after the Spirit of God, listening to the voice of God, and not necessarily going with what makes sense or what most people would do in that situation. I have a news flash for you. You are not most people. Therefore, you don't have to do, nor do you do what most people do. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. And if I don't see my Father doing it, I don't do it. The thing that you're about to do, the thing that you're about to endeavor in, can you see God doing it? Can you see yourself doing it in Christ? Or is it something that you feel pressured to do? Something that the world does? Something that everyone else does? Or something that makes sense to do? We need to make sure that we're listening in our spirit and not in your mind. Particularly your unrenewed mind, the carnal mind. Now, if your mind is renewed, then that's a benefit to you. But the most important thing is that you're listening in your spirit, in your heart. What is God speaking to you? What has God told you? What has God put in your spirit concerning that thing? You want to make sure that the input that you're getting is not from the world system, but it's from the mouth of God, it's from the kingdom of God, and it's in line with the Word of God. Does this align with it is written? Does this align with God said? We are spiritual beings. We have been born again of the Spirit of God, and we have the nature of God on the inside of us. As sons of God, when something comes to us, our spirit will go ding, 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 good or bad. When something rubs you the wrong way and you say, there's something about this that's not right. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. But something about this is not right. Listen here. Listen to what God is saying. Even if you can't explain it to someone else and they want an explanation, it doesn't matter. Suffice to say, I don't have peace about this. I'm not going to do it. I don't have peace about this. We are not going in this direction. If you are over a household, a class, a business, a ministry, a church, whatever the entity is, I'm a child of God. I have his nature on the inside of me. Something about this, I don't have peace. Maybe it's not time. Maybe there's nothing wrong with it on the surface, but it's just not the right season for it. Maybe it will work better down the road somewhere. In a few months, in a few years, it'll fit in with the plan of God for my life or the plan of God for this institution. But whatever it is, I don't have peace about it. It's not resonating with me. And until I get peace about it, I'm not moving. I will stay faithful to the last things that God told me, and I will do those things, but I will not do a new thing just to do a new thing. I will listen here and do what God says do. Maybe it's not the season for it, or maybe there's something about it that just is not right in and of itself. Regardless, when you're listening here, you can discern both good and evil. What you have peace about and what you don't have peace about. And even if everybody else is doing it, and it appears that they're having success and getting results doing it, that does not mean you should. Because eventually, if you get involved in it because of what you saw with your eyes, your head, and not what God spoke to your spirit, it won't work for you, and somewhere down the road may destroy you. So what is God speaking to your spirit? You think about innovation. Innovation is a new way of doing something that brings exponential results that have never been seen before. You think of Amazon.com. They didn't so much develop a new product, they innovated the storefront. The storefront already existed. They brought innovation to operations and processes and product promotion and partnering together with resellers and manufacturers to bring an online experience as big as the Amazon. They innovated. Innovation doesn't come by doing what's up here. It comes by doing and operating out of the abundance of your heart, out of your belly, is the wellspring of life. God wants to bring kingdom innovation into the earth. the kingdom way of doing things, the kingdom way of functioning, the kingdom way of operating. God wants to bring innovation to your family. He wants to bring innovation to your marriage. New ways of doing things in your marriage that have not been done before, birthed out of your spirit man. New ways of doing things in your family that have not been done before, that takes your family to a whole new level. Well, Brian, I've always done this. I never have done that. Well, if God speaks it to you, you should. Because it'll bring change, exponential change, to your family. Innovation to your business. Well, I've got my own business. I just follow best practices. If you are a child of God, you don't stop being a child of God at the front door of your business. You allow the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, to come into your business with you so that the kingdom of God can be established there. And when the kingdom of God is established in your business, His order, His peace, His way of doing things, you'll see innovation in your business that brings prosperity, life, jobs to other people. Because you're not solely following best practices. Although there's nothing wrong with emulating success, as long as it's in line with what God's put in you. There's no need to reinvent the wheel unless reinventing the wheel goes contrary to innovation that God has put in your spirit. If you solely do what others have only done, you'll never break out. You'll only get the results that everyone else has gotten. But entities, businesses, corporations that have picked up on this idea of innovation, they're the ones that don't change the world, but they have great success and great opportunity to benefit the world and have great influence. But the world and the world system, they don't have exclusive license to innovation. Innovation out of the heart and spirit of a man that brings about God ideas. That when you follow after Him and you listen here, those God ideas bring life and that life more abundantly. I would say turning water into wine was very innovative. But Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. When you do what you see the Father doing in your marriage, in your family, in your business, in your church, you will see God results. You will see kingdom results. They may not necessarily be world system results, because there is a mindset that's out there that says this is what success looks like. But it's not a godly mindset. It's not a kingdom mindset. We have to allow the Word of God, the kingdom of God, to define what success looks like for us. And it may not look as big and as bad as what the world is doing, but it is bigger and it is better, and long term will produce eternal life. Long term positions us to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We aren't looking to be like the world system. We're looking to operate in our system, the kingdom of God. We aren't looking to compete with what they're doing because there is no competition. God said, "I am God." Jesus said, "I am Lord. All judgment has been committed unto me. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." Where is the competition? Why are you trying to compete with the neighbors? Why are you trying to compete with coworkers? Why are you trying to compete with your peers? "Well, they dress like this, I'm gonna dress like this. This is the cool thing. This is the end thing to do. Everybody's doing this." There is no comparison when it comes to the things of God and the things of the world, young people. There is no need to compete with the world system, young people, because there is no competition. God's way is the best way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the only way that matters." The world system says, "Well, there's this way and this way and this way." Jesus says, "I am the only way that matters at the end of the day." When everything is summed up, when everything is wrapped up, his will, his kingdom will be the only thing that matters. So in the season that we're in right now, we want to make sure that we are not being conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that the eyes of our spirit are open and we're listening here and not here. And when God says do this, we do it. Well, the expert says you shouldn't do that. Another newsflash, God is the expert. Worldly experts do not trump the expert. Again, I'm not saying if you don't have anything in your spirit from God and this thing over here has been proven to work and you have peace about it, doesn't violate the word of God, then go for it. But be open to hear a new way. Keep your spiritual ears open to hear a new way, an innovative way of doing that, to see results that no one has ever seen before. And they will ask you, "How did you do that? How did your marriage become like this? How did your family become like this? How did your business become like this? How did your church become like this?" And you will not say, "Well, this seven-step system." You will say, "God." It's simple. It's rest. Listen and do. Listen and do. When you follow after peace, when you follow after the Spirit of God, when you follow after your born-again nature, you will experience God's will being done in your life. When you try to fit in, when you try to do what unrenewed minds in your family say you should do, then you're limiting yourself. You're limiting what God has for you. "Well, Brian, look at all these successful people. I want to be like them." Whatever sphere you're called to, if God has called you to that sphere, there's something innovative that God has put inside of you for that sphere. for the business that you own, for the company you work for the ministry that you're in, there's something different, there's something unique about what God has put inside of you. And any attempts to do and be like anyone else for the sake of being and doing like anyone else robs God and robs God's family of something that was going to transform their lives. But you didn't walk in it because it had never been done before, although you sensed the budding of that in your spirit. Who's being robbed because you won't do it the way God said do it? Who's being robbed because you won't build it the way God said build it? Who's being robbed because you won't say it the way God said say it? No one taught me how to teach. There have been many people who have influenced that gift, but that gift came from no one but God. And there is a way that God puts things in me, and there is a way that God tells me to share them. And there are other ministers and teachers who do it the way God told them to do it. Each one brings something to the body and adds something that benefits everybody. But if they all were trying to do it the same way, no one would get what they needed, and they would be robbed of all the things that God had for them and all the variation and multiplicity of gifts that God had to benefit his body. I don't know if holding a sheet of paper folded up twice in my left hand is the proper way to minister or teach. But sometimes I do that. And there have been some times in my life where I have stayed in the boundaries of what typical ministry and teaching and presentation is, and I knew that that wasn't it for me. That I had to do it the way God told me to do it in order to be as effective as God wanted me to be and to be as effective as I could be. You can be somewhat effective, but how many of you want to be fully effective? You want to realize the fullness of your potential that God has put on the inside of you. That is innovation. That does come from the candlelight of your spirit, man, down here under the possession and influence of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't come by hearing and listening to tradition for the sake of hearing and listening to tradition. I don't mind tradition as long as, like Jesus said, you don't nullify the commandments of God by it. As long as you don't nullify what the Spirit is saying do by it. Tradition can be fine, can be nice, can be helpful, can help keep some order. But as soon as God says new way, as soon as God says do this, you ought to be ready to go. You ought to be ready to do it, because that's the thing that's going to bring the transformation that's needed at that time. Your spiritual ears, God gave them to you for a reason. And there is a flow that God has put on the inside of you that is unique to you. If you never flow in it, no one will ever see the real you. Not that the goal is to be seen, but God wants to get glory from what he does in and through you. So the season that we're in, we need to be mindful of that, because there will be plenty of messages out there. There will be plenty of suggestions that people have for you. Well, I think. You think. Well, thinking's not bad. Thinking can be good if the thoughts come from a renewed mind. But if it's coming from an unrenewed mind, I appreciate the thought, the effort, but those thoughts aren't going to help me. I need thoughts from a renewed mind. From a mind that's mindful of the things of God. So while I appreciate the suggestion, instead of hearing, I think, I'd rather hear God said. But God better have said before you speak those words. If you thinking, tell me you thinking. I know what to do with that. If you feel impressed but you're not sure, be honest. Yes. And tell me you feel impressed but not sure. But when you say God said, whatever comes after that better be what God said. Otherwise, I don't want to hear it. I'd rather you tell me. And I would respect more if you told me, I believe God's put this on my heart. Check it in your spirit. Yeah. That's good. But, if God did say, then I want to know. So we can go there. If we're still getting in tuned to what God said, then we're going to follow the flow of the Holy Spirit. And if we need to augment and adjust and change course, so be it. We will. We know in part. We prophesy in part. You do not know everything. The Bible says you know in part. Even when you have a word of knowledge, you know in part. That word of knowledge is in part. When you receive a word of knowledge, you should receive it in part. That is not your whole life. And that is not direction for your whole life, although it could influence that direction. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. Therefore, we should receive it in part. And understand that there is more that God may bring to that at the right time in the right season. That's why it's vital to understand specifically what was said. And don't add anything to it. What was said, and that's it. Not what was not said. This is what was said. Well, Brian, and this and this and this. No. What was said? You're bringing too much into what God said. It's vital to be specific, because if we don't hear a certain trumpet sound, we can't do anything. So we have to be specific, and we have to hear specifically and acknowledge that God said about this, but it doesn't necessarily mean this, this, and this. God may have something else to say about this, this, and this. Listening in your spirit, man. Letting the Holy Spirit direct you. God wants to bring and establish his kingdom in the earth. God's kingdom is his rule, his reign, him reigning in the earth. And his rule and his reign include all the attributes, all the principles, and all the glory that go with that reign. So as you listen in your spirit, you have to ask yourself, what does kingdom life look like in every area of my life, in every facet of my life? What does the kingdom look like in my marriage? Well, there would be love, because that is an attribute of the kingdom. There would be understanding, because that's an attribute of the kingdom. Because we're told, dwell with your wife in understanding. The word of God is the constitution for the kingdom. So we know that whatever the word of God says is part of kingdom principles in that particular area. The kingdom of God in my marriage looks like life, and that life more abundantly. The kingdom of God in my marriage looks like kind words spoken. What does the kingdom of God look like in my business? The Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but it says let there be order. Order is a principle of the kingdom. Is there order in your business? Is there, sorry if you're tired of it, is there infrastructure in your business that speaks to kingdom order? Or is there chaos and confusion and your employees don't know what in the world's going on? Order is a kingdom of God principle. What does the kingdom of God look like in your finances? Prosperity is a kingdom principle. Again, not so you can brag, but so the kingdom of God can be demonstrated. Yes. Stewardship is a principle that Jesus spoke of many times around finances. So we know the kingdom in your finances looks like stewardship and how you're stewarding those finances. Jesus said, I would liken the kingdom of God to a woman who took leaven and embedded it in flour, put it in there as yeast, and let it work its way through every piece of that until the entire loaf was leavened. I've told you this before, the kingdom of God does not have a limit in terms of what and where it's going to go in your life. By nature, it's not limited. By nature, you cannot limit it. What I mean by that is you can't say kingdom of God in my marriage, but not in my finances. Because once you receive the king, he's going to want to go into every room in the house. He's going to want to work his way through that flour, through that bread, so that every sphere, every facet has now been leavened with the kingdom. So then I have to ask myself, what does the kingdom look like in every arena, in every facet of my life, and not leave anything out? Because there's a way the kingdom looks in my parenthood. There's a way the kingdom looks in my decision making. There's a way the kingdom operates in my pursuits. We have to have a heart that says, thy kingdom come. Jesus said, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom being established on the earth first starts with you. Is it established in you? And then once it's established in you, Jerusalem, then it can go into the uttermost parts of the world. But first it has to be established in you. Once it's established there, then it has to be established in your home, because the Word of God says, how can you take care of God's house if you can't take care of your own house? So I have to make sure we don't execute perfectly all the time. And in that sense, we're not perfect, although we're perfect in Him. It doesn't mean you're perfect, that you do everything perfectly all the time. But you've made sure that the kingdom is there, the principles are there, that everything's okay in the house. And if things aren't okay, it doesn't mean you stop serving at church. You just get things okay there as a priority. It doesn't mean you stop coming and stop serving. Just get it okay. Get things back on track. Work as a family to do that, but men spearhead the effort. Because God wants His kingdom in your family, in your affairs, in your errands, in your to-do list throughout the day. What does the kingdom of God look like manifest in your business, on your job? Lance Wallnau said many years ago, he spoke about the ability for the kingdom of God to affect an individual and not necessarily an entity. The kingdom of God to affect an individual, but not necessarily a sphere. Not necessarily an institution. It's one thing for you to be a light on your job, to see other people born again and leading others to Christ. That's awesome. We should do that. But just because people are being born again and saved doesn't mean that the kingdom has been established in that business yet or at that company. If you're in politics and you're in government, just because you're at the Capitol and God is using you to bring others to Christ doesn't mean that the kingdom is fully made manifest at the Capitol yet. The kingdom can affect an individual, but that sphere can be largely untouched, because those institutions and those spheres don't function by people. Although people do bring their glory into it, Jesus said, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, the kings of the earth will bring their glory into the city to go along with God's glory. Born again people within a sphere doesn't necessarily mean that that sphere has been affected by the kingdom yet. Because those institutions don't run and function by people. They run and they function by policies. So now we have to see the kingdom of God make its way not only into the lives of people, but into the lives of policies and legislation and processes and operations, so that the institution, the sphere, can truly be affected. Because if you have godly kingdom people, but you have ungodly processes and legislation and laws, that legislation will win out. How many times have you heard people say, I don't necessarily agree with the law, but it's the law and I'm just doing my job. I'm a police officer. I'm a judge. I'm a lawyer. I'm just doing what the law says, although I don't necessarily agree with it. How many born-again believers are in government, are in entertainment, and although they personally do things the kingdom way, they're overseeing unkingdom processes and operations and policies? So it's not enough to see people born again. for the kingdom of God to be made manifest in the earth. We have to see the kingdom of God first affect the people, first being us, but then we have to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for those institutions. That's what we do on Wednesday nights. We're praying for our nation, praying for leadership. Why? Because the kingdom needs to make its way into policies, into legislation, into laws, into processes, into operations. God intended his kingdom to make its way, to be embedded, and make its way through all the flour, through all the bread. Jesus gave another parable and said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that was planted in the ground. And although it is the smallest seed, when it's full grown, when it's made its way through everything, it is an entity that people can rest in, that birds of the air can come. This is what he said literally. Birds of the air can come and nest in, but he gave it as an example of the kingdom in manifestation. What happens when a sphere, a family, education, what happens when a sphere has been revolutionized? I said that wrong, but you understand what I mean. What happens when kingdom innovation has overtaken that industry? Now people who go into that industry can be affected by the new policies, the new processes, the new operations, the new innovation, the new way of doing things, because it is kingdom innovation that got birth by people who were listening here and praying with their eyes here and not what was in their head. Not solely what they were seeing, what they were sensing. Pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are ambassadors in the earth. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. And as ambassadors, we should expect and look for God to fund our mission, the mission that he's given us. Jesus said, don't be worried about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. God said, I'll take care of you. You are my ambassador in the earth. You are an ambassador of the kingdom. Not only are you my son, my daughter, my child, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So what are we looking for in these arenas, in these spheres, concerning the kingdom of God, not just individuals or people, although that's definitely something God has commanded us to do? Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a surface level thing, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do we want to see righteousness in education? Do we want to see peace in the family? Do we want to see joy in entertainment? The joy of the Lord, not the joy of the world system. The kingdom of God brings about order. We already said that. The kingdom of God brings about prosperity. We see that when Jesus feeds the masses with the two fish and the five loaves. The kingdom of God brings about health. Jesus told his disciples when he was sending them out, Luke chapter 10, I realize I didn't go to a lot of verses or open my Bible too much tonight. You can, as the news media is saying nowadays, you can fact check me, okay? Feel free to be a Berean and see if the things that are being said are true, because I am capable of missing it. Yeah. But I open myself to listen. I've got treasure in an earthen vessel. But Jesus sent his disciples out and he says, preach, saying the kingdom of God has drawn near, has come nigh. and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. When the kingdom of God is manifested, when the kingdom of God is in operation, the sick get healed. The bound are set free. So I know the kingdom of God is manifesting in a place or in a realm. I'm looking for the health of God to be made manifest with that. I'm looking for the life of God to be made manifest with that. I'm looking for freedom from the devil in all his works. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So I'm looking for the devil's work to be destroyed, to be removed. I'm looking for truth. I'm looking for love. I'm looking for character. And I'm looking for laws that are ungodly to now become godly and kingdom-oriented. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That was the message for tonight. Are you blessed? Yes. Why did I ask that question? You are blessed. Yes. I have a treasure in earthen vessel. Yes. You are blessed. Amen. Sometimes we say things and I don't know. I'm giving you an opportunity. Thank you for that grace, Sister Lou. Pastor Richard, are you coming? Okay.
Thank you, Brother Brian. Well, I've got one of those, thus saith the Lord. Good word, Brother Brian. Thus saith the Lord, the workman is worthy of his hire. You know, when you quote the word of God, you know you ain't going to miss it. But you do have to rightly divide it. We've been ministered to and spiritual stuff, a lot of good spiritual stuff, kingdom stuff. So it's time to bless Brother Brian with some financial stuff according to what the word has said. So we got the buckets up here. I would ask or inform that if anybody needs prayer afterwards, the ministers will be up here. I'll be up here. There's no reason to need something when the Spirit of God is here to meet need. So we can do that. Everybody good? Stand with us and let's bless the Lord for a few minutes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give glory and honor to you, mighty God. We recognize and we receive the word that we have heard as to be your word, Father God. We thank you for the word that we have heard that has been sown into our hearts. We choose to water it, to nurture it, and to make sure that it grows in our heart and become good fruit, Father God, for the kingdom of God, that the kingdom is planted in us, and we, everywhere that we go, that we exhibit the attributes of the kingdom, and that we can establish your kingdom through the things that we have heard tonight, Father God, through innovation and through obedience to your word and through God ideas and through hearing your voice and following after you. We thank you for that, Father. We seal the word with the Holy Spirit that it will not be stolen from us, but the truth of the word continues to grow and manifest as we meditate and as we mull it over, as we think about it. I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit teaches us, even after we're gone from this place, your Holy Spirit is continuing to teach us on what we have heard tonight. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. We give glory and honor to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you. Oh, we worship you, Father God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Father God, that you have bestowed upon us your very name and your very attributes, that you have birthed in us, that we are like you, Father God, that we have your ability, we have your grace, we have your mercy, we have your anointing, Father God, and we are your sons and your daughters in the kingdom, and we celebrate and rejoice in you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I call you the blessed of the Lord. I say that the Lord has blessed you, and you are his. He has his hand on your life, and his word is in your heart, that everywhere you go, you are the sweet-smelling aroma of his presence, and you represent his kingdom, not only in word and in deed, but just by being there. People are aware, and they sense and know God's love and his mercy. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful, and you are led forth with divine favor. And his blessings overtake you daily. And we are the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. We are growing, and daily we are taking ground. Hallelujah. We are a family, and you are loved. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you Sunday.